I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns. And today on the show, we're going to be talking all about Alexis Bellino's big comeback to The Real Housewives of Orange County. We have on Lewis Peitzman, who is a writer who wrote an article all about her comeback and analyzing it and why it's gone down the way it has, which I will link in the show notes. But I had to invite him onto the show to unpack that article, kind of follow some of the threads that he brought up in that piece and just analyze her comeback, because she's definitely been a lightning rod in the Bravoverse ever since the season of Orange County premiered. So it's definitely worth unpacking specifically. But before we get there, I mean, what a week it's been in the Bravoverse. We've gotten three huge pieces of news over the past few days, one of which obviously pertains to Alexis, but we'll get there. The first was that on Tuesday, we got hit with two back-to-back stories. One being that Tom Girardi was found guilty on 4 counts of wire fraud, which adds up to him embezzling more than $15 million from his clients over the course of about a decade. The trial lasted for 13 days, but jury deliberation lasted for less than a day, and he'll be sentenced in December. He faces up to 20 years in prison for each count. And because there are 4 counts, that means that he is facing a total of 80 years in prison. And homeboy is 85 years old, so you do the math, right? I'm thinking about having somebody on the show soon to analyze this and maybe some of the other Bravo legal things, as I tend to do every couple of months. But, you know, ultimately, I'm glad that he's facing the consequences for his actions. You know, what he did was so fucked up, and I'm glad that he's not able to slither out of this punishment because of his declining mental faculties that he's apparently afflicted with. So yeah, I mean, I do kind of wish that the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills cameras were up right now and filming to get some of these reactions. I mean, not just from Erica, obviously, but also from some of her co-stars, particularly people like Sutton, people like Garcelle, who were very much on her neck and very much bringing this case and storyline and these charges to the forefront of the show. I would have loved to seen them react, but you can't get it all. So that's that. I mean, I don't think there's much else to say about that. But again, we're glad that he is being punished for what he did. And then we hear pretty much around the same time that Brittany Cartwright from Vanderpump Rules and from The Valley has finally filed for divorce from Jax Taylor. Brittany cited irreconcilable differences as the reason for their split, and she listed January 24th as the date of their separation, which is 8 months ago. And that's also, I looked back, it's about a month after she initially moved out of their house and into that Airbnb. And that was sort of what was shown at the very end of the season 1 finale of The Valley, when they picked cameras back up to sort of document some of those updates, including her moving out and them separating. And I think that 1 month difference is kind of interesting. I'm curious what that's about. And in her filing, she said that she's seeking primary custody of their son, Cruz, who is 3 now. Brittany and Jax were married for 4 years. They were together for 8. So it's definitely the end of an era, but I'm obviously thrilled for her. I mean, this was the correct decision, and it was a long time coming. I mean, one of the juiciest tidbits is that she apparently had the divorce papers given to Jax on camera, not by her, by somebody else. But, you know, she is a reality TV pro. She's been doing this for a very long time. Over 8 years, as I just said, ever since she's known Jax, and she knows what she's doing. She knows that The Valley is kind of predicated on delivering these moments, these messy moments. I mean, I think it's the messiest show on Bravo. So, I mean, this is what we all hoped, right? We hoped that if we were going to get an update like this, that it was going to include the detail that it was happening on camera. And this is their job. It's to put their lives out. And so I'm glad that she is not shying away from that. And she's sort of leaning into that. And she also waited for him to get out of that treatment facility where he was for apparently like 30 days. Yeah, again, she's just making sure that this is a full reality TV moment while The Valley films its second season. And now we all know sort of what the central moment is going to be. And it's probably going to be this sort of the lead up and the fallout from it. And it's kind of seeing who runs to Jax's side, who runs to Brittany's side. I'm guessing it's going to be mostly like the women running to her side and the men running to his side. But I hope we have some surprises in there just to mix it up. But it looks like a lot of the cast has just been like rallying around her, rightfully so, kind of all season long. I mean, they just had that party at Jax's bar, where they rebranded it to Britney's bar. I love that for her, because as we saw on the show last season, she was a huge reason the bar even was ready by the time they had to open. So this update is compelling for the show. It's a hopeful update for her. I mean, I'm sure we'll see some incredible glow up from her in many ways going forward. Everyone's in her corner. So I'm really excited for her. And I think lastly, I mean, for me, I don't know about you guys, but like in my mind, I mean, especially ever since Jax and Britney left Vanderpump Rules or were let go from Vanderpump Rules. Actually, that is one thing. I've always kind of wondered, like, was it Jax who got fired and Britney just left with him, or were they both fired? I don't know. Maybe I'll look that up. But ever since they left Vanderpump Rules, I've always just sort of thought of them as this joint entity. Like, that's how they existed in my head for so long. And because I don't think highly of him, I mean, he has me blocked on Twitter, like, she sort of went down with that ship in my mind, you know, even though like they are different people, obviously. Like, I just felt like for so long she was co-signing his bad behavior and his questionable opinions and decisions just by sticking by him as a loyal wife, which like she's entitled to do. But in my mind, like, I had a hard time separating them. And so, and I think that season one of The Valley was helpful in that regard. Like, it reminded me that there are so many great qualities about Britney that are lovable and likable, and she's such a good friend and mom. And, you know, officially separating herself from Jax is such a welcome update. And it's just going to help her in so many ways. And it's going to help her sort of redefine herself and kind of rebrand herself in the public eye in a way that's, again, long overdue and really necessary for her, I think. And yeah, she just deserves so much better than Jax. And I'm excited for this next era for her. I mean, even just that photo she posted on Instagram after the news, I mean, 10 out of 10, Team Britney. And then the last update before we get to the bulk of today's episode, and it actually has to do with today's episode, is on late Wednesday night, Alexis Bellino took to Instagram with a bombshell announcement that she and Johnny J, John Jansen, are engaged. So she posted a picture on her Instagram of her in a black dress, him in, you know, cocktail attire, a jacket, and she has this huge sparkler on her ring finger. And she wrote, "On cloud nine, celebrating 9 months of love and laughter and looking forward to my forever with you. Every moment together has been a gift. I'm so in love with you and the beautiful life we're building together with our kids." And the answer is one with a million zeros percent. Yes. And then she quotes the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:13. "And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." So, I mean, deep sigh. It's shocking, but not surprising. You know, it's one of those feelings. I mean, the whole thing is just like so classic. Like, she has the comments turned off because she knows that I'm sure that she would be getting lots of negative comments directly aimed at her under this announcement. There was a People exclusive article timed exactly for when she posted this on Instagram. You know, obviously this is happening before the cast films the reunion. They have not filmed the reunion for the season yet. So this gives her something to enter that stage with on her finger to talk about as sort of like an armor, I think, and, you know, to restake her stake in the ground, honestly. I mean, it just like, it makes you think, like, she starts the caption "on cloud nine," and it's like, okay, did they literally do this so that she could make the caption "on cloud nine" for their 9 month anniversary? Like, or it makes you think, did he sue Shannon to get the money to buy that ring? I mean, it's just like, it's very cynical. It's very diabolical. And I hate to like label somebody's love story that way, but like, they're not doing themselves any favors this entire time. And, you know, she's going all in, he's going all in, and this is what she wants, you know? And who knows if this is an effort to secure a slot on the show again, keep the storyline going forward, you know, have a lead up to a potential wedding. I mean, even just the idea of that is like, Jesus Christ. If we could have Alexis Bellino and John Jansen wedding on, I mean, at this rate, it would be like next season of OC. It just makes my head hurt, you know? And it's just also wild to see, like, I mean, in the reaction to this engagement news, which was not positive at all, it's just wild to see how she continues to lose more and more of the viewership as the weeks go on. You know, I think as you'll hear in this conversation with Lewis today, like, a lot of fans wanted her back. She had cultivated some goodwill in the months leading up to her starting to film for the show. And that's pretty much, I mean, that's not pretty much, it's all gone, I would say. And that's not an easy thing to do. You know, you have to take a lot of missteps for that to be the case. I mean, I'd say good for her if she doesn't care, if she's liked by the viewers and she wants to be in her love bubble, but woof. And it's also like, I mean, at a certain point, the support of her from other from other people, I mean, from Tamara and Heather in particular, I would say, like, they're towing a fine line too, I think, in terms of, you know, co-signing all of this and co-signing what it means for Shannon and how it affects Shannon. And it's not all about Shannon, but like, it kind of is, you know? Anyway, we'll obviously be following all of these threads in the coming weeks, but let's get to the issue at hand today. Why has Alexis Bellino's comeback on The Real Housewives of Orange County felt like such a flop for her? I mean, to be clear, I don't think that her comeback has been a flop for the show, meaning that it shouldn't have happened in the first place. I'm glad that she came back. It's been good mess. She's kind of, you kind of like love to hate watching her, I would say. And she's shown us who she is and all of that. But it just couldn't have gone worse for her. You know, like, as I just said, like, she has cultivated a lot of ill will towards herself and her now fiance. It couldn't have gone worse for her. So yeah, writer Lewis Peitzman wrote a great piece for Vulture unpacking this whole idea. So I wanted to invite him onto the show to unpack some of these ideas, follow some of these threads that he mentions in his article, which again, I've linked in the show notes for your easy access in case you missed the article last week. We had a really awesome chat all about her comeback, about Tamara and Heather vouching for her to differing degrees, how it's helped Shannon's case with the fans in a lot of ways, how her comeback compares to other new additions to the show in the past two seasons, and a lot more different ideas that pertain to this. And again, note that we recorded this right before the news broke on Wednesday night that Alexis and John got engaged, and not knowing that update doesn't impact the conversation that much. In fact, towards the end of the conversation, we actually hypothesized how a potential engagement or future wedding or breakup even could impact not just the reunion coming up, but her future on the show after this season, which is kind of funny in hindsight, honestly. Like, I was kind of laughing quietly to myself as I edited this episode. But yeah, keep listening for my chat with Lewis Peitzman. Check out his piece in the show notes. And please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're enjoying the show, any support means so much. And have a great long weekend. And we'll be back on Tuesday with another brand new episode. I want to gab. Today we're gabbing with Lewis Peitzman, who just wrote an article for Vulture called The Comeback Flop, all about Alexis Bellino's big return to The Real Housewives of Orange County this season as a friend of the cast and sort of the ways that that has been taken so far this season. The piece made me think a lot about just the season of OC overall and how it's sort of gone down and what role she's played in it. And so I had to have Lewis on the show today to talk all about it. So Lewis, You've gotten a probably pretty good response to this article, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think people have mostly been team Alexis is flopping. So it hasn't been as contentious as like other things I've written about Housewives. I feel like we're all kind of on the same page here.
Okay, so before we jump into what you're arguing in your piece, give me some background on sort of just like what prompted you to write it. Like, what were the thoughts that were percolating in your head while watching the show this season as they pertain to Alexis?
Yeah, so I actually was inspired by my own tweet, which is so embarrassing, but
Inspired by myself.
No, yeah, exactly. No, I mean, like, I had tweeted that, like, I feel like I wish for Alexis back on a monkey's paw. Like, I feel like this was a be careful what you wish for situation. And, like, yeah. that was what basically made me want to explore that, because I really did want her back. I feel like a lot of us wanted her back. And then the John Jansen of it all, like, came out of nowhere. And at first it kind of seemed like, I remember when they were first like linked, it was like, well, maybe this could be a fun element, like,
yeah,
you know, RIP Shannon, but it could be like a fun element of the season. I had no idea that it was going to be like her entire storyline where she's just a mouthpiece for John.
Exactly. Exactly. And we'll get into that. But like you said, like there was momentum for Alexis to return in a way that, like, I don't know how organic it was necessarily, but like there were various factors that contributed to it. So like, you know, I think a big piece, honestly, was sort of like, and you mentioned this in your piece, is like some of the growth that she had shown as a person, or seemingly shown as a person. Like, she sort of had this big public declaration of acceptance for her trans son. You know, she had this really unexpectedly winning moment at BravoCon in the fall. Heather was actively sort of campaigning for her to return to the show. And then she started to date John Jansen, which, I mean, when that news first broke, I was like, okay, it's a little desperado, but also this is the perfect storyline to re-enter the show on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it did feel organic in a lot of ways, minus the John Jansen of it all.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like, you know, I had forgotten that, like, Emily was the one who brought her back on the show, you know, a couple seasons back, like, for just a one scene lunch.
Yeah.
So she's, like, been in their orbit. It just kind of made sense. She's also someone who, like, seems to, as you said, like, have actually grown versus, like, a Gretchen, where, like, I do occasionally want to see Gretchen again, but also I think that she's probably the exact same person.
Exactly.
You know, where we left her, and do I want to see Slade again? Like, I know they've popped up, but not in a... I don't know, like,
that would be so much.
It's just like, it's a lot. Yeah, I think that it made so much sense. And I think the show has also learned that, like, you know, obviously bringing Tamara back was great, but bringing Heather back, maybe not her first season back, but
right.
since then, like, she's been so integral. And it's like, for a show that's been on this long, you have this whole bank of former cast members who we do want to see again.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sort of their OC has kind of been given the alternate way of rebooting a show, whereas, like, Roni was completely rebooted and recast. Orange County makes the case for, like, actually all you need to do is, like, bring back some fan favorites, inject some new blood, and, like, you kind of have a show. So, and I think it's proven that it's worked. I think last season really proved that it worked, and I think this season is sort of doubling down on that. The main reason that Alexis is not really working is that, like you said, all she talks about is Johnny J. It's relentless. It's insensitive to Shannon. It's exhausting. Like, it, and it's hard to tell, I guess, what's your perspective on, like, whether that's because she's a friend of the cast and that's just kind of what her airtime is being used for, or is that really all she's talking about?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both. Like, I did get the pushback that I've gotten, and it's not like there are hardcore Alexis defenders out there, but I did hear from a few people who were like, it's not really fair to judge her for this when she is a friend of, so she doesn't really get to talk about things outside. Like, she has her storyline. Producers are probably pushing her to do more of that. And she doesn't really have the room to do, she's not doing solo scenes. We're not getting anything about her family. We also don't know how much, like, she would be able to talk about her family, because we know that Jim Bellino is very litigious.
Yeah.
Like, would she even be able to film with them? I have no idea. So that's part of it. But also, she's a dog with a bone. Like, she just, like, really, she does seem, like, completely fixated on John Jansen and, like, obsessed with him in a way that I think even if she were full time, it would still be dominated by John.
Yeah.
Johnny J and Fun Lexi.
Lexi and Johnny J. Exactly. The dream couple. But it's also, I think part of it is because it's not just that she's talking about Johnny J a lot. It's that by doing so, she's rubbing it in Shannon's face. And Shannon has sort of become this, like, people's princess fan favorite of a figure this season in a way that I don't know if she's ever really been before. It's like she's like a pretty universally beloved person right now, you know? And
yeah,
I'm not sure everybody saw it going that way.
She's having her best season yet, which is totally wild.
Yeah.
You know, at first glance, you're like, oh, that is surprising because obviously the DUI, but it's like, if you think about it, like, we love a comeback story, gay men especially, but, like, also Bravo fans, like, we love a fallen diva, we love someone who's, like, really going through it. And I feel like if you look at it, like, it's what's surprising to me is that Tamara didn't see how this would backfire. You're even if she wasn't having this great comeback season, I think you would still be kicking a person while they're down in a way that, like, would never look good to the audience. Like, it's just, it's, Shannon is so apologetic. She's so, you know, she talks constantly about how she never stops thinking about all of this. And it's like, yes, if she were totally sober, that would be a different situation. And I understand where Tamara is coming from on the sobriety front. But yeah, I just feel like she has misplayed it. Like, you know, and Alexis obviously as well. But I don't really know how Tamara saw this going. I think Alexis is not quite as calculated here. I think she's really just speaking for John.
Right, right. And it's sort of like, because if you think back to when Shannon first got that DUI, I mean, the online reaction was, it wasn't really that supportive of Shannon. You know, it was sort of like, she's fucking up, you know, and she's making bad decisions for herself and she should probably curtail the drinking or whatever. But, like, that was sort of the prevailing consensus around her. And then I think it started to shift with the Tamara stuff, with the Alexis stuff. And so I think about, you know, in an alternate reality, if Shannon, let's say Shannon never got the DUI, but Alexis still comes back dating John Jansen, is it received any differently because it's not necessarily kicking Shannon when she's down, it's not rubbing in her face? Is it still just as annoying if that Shannon factor isn't necessarily as prevalent?
Yeah, I think that it would be very different. I think that if you look at the timeline, when the DUI happened, it was right after the reunion. It had filmed. I can't remember.
Filmed but not aired, I'm pretty sure.
Filmed but not aired, right.
Yeah.
But like, she didn't have a good season. Like, she was having a bad season. And then I think when we saw the reunion and we saw, you know, Gina completely won that fight and Shannon looks terrible. And Gina also was like, you probably should look at your drinking. Like, it could have gone very differently. I do think, though, that if she hadn't gotten the DUI, that she wouldn't have Gina and Emily as allies the way that she does. Like, I think that it could have been much more of them on Alexis's side in terms of all this. The part that I don't really understand is, like, no one liked John Jansen. So I don't really know. Tamara's totally able to fake it and say, like, oh, he was always, I had no problem with him. I just thought that, like, Shannon was the issue. It doesn't actually make any sense, but, like, she can run with that. I don't know that Gina or Emily were ever going to be like, you know, we love Johnny J and we're on.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, it's no. Just, he's the problem. Yeah.
But I do think the Gina and Shannon connection in particular, because they both sort of gone through a lot of the same things. I think that that's kind of an endearing point of just to see that connection. And the, like, I mean, Shannon came into that first event at Heather's and, like, she kind of had her tail between her legs. She knew she had to apologize to Gina, and she did. And Gina accepted it right away, I think, because they both recognized that it would be beneficial to be connected, you know? And
yeah.
I'm glad that happened. But I did want to kind of pull on the thread that you kind of mentioned was, you know, about Tamara and Heather to a lesser extent, sort of just really, and Alexis misreading the room. And, like, you know, I remember when they were filming and we saw on Instagram, they kind of were presenting as this, like, trio, and it just felt like they wanted to be, like, all, like, this dream team almost, you know, like they're really kind of connected, Tamara in particular. But it's just wild that these two pros of Housewives, Heather and Tamara, are sort of dying on this hill of Alexis, considering how she's acting and how she's treating Shannon.
Yeah, I think Heather's sort of playing both sides a bit more. I don't know that the reunion should be interesting, because I feel like we'll see. But Heather is distracted by this, like, bullshit paparazzi. Not that claim is bullshit. I would not be shocked if Heather called the paparazzi, but, like, the storyline is, like, kind of pulling focus.
Yeah.
So I don't, and I think Heather also is giving Alexis good advice. Like, Heather is the one who's saying, like, you gotta, like, take it down a notch. And I think the unspoken thing there when she was like, you should try to be friends with Shannon, was like, for show purposes, you cannot come out swinging and then just, like, keep at it the entire season,
right?
Because it's not going to work. Like, she's never going to get asked back at this rate. You have to be able to realistically film with other people. And it's like, she is coming in alienating, like, a key cast member. So I think Heather is, you know, she's
trying to goad her into the right direction.
I think she's trying to get Alexis to, like, back off and be someone viable on this show.
But it's like, and then do you think she thinks back to when Shannon first got that DUI and she's like, oh, people, like, we're dunking on her, and that's what she thinks the public sentiment was still going to remain that way? Or because I think that Tamara has shown she's down to sort of, like, kind of sacrifice herself for the sake of the show and to, like, keep things moving forward. But, like, this is just a very extreme example of doing that.
Yeah, but I think Tamara has bad instincts. Like, I think that what's interesting about Tamara is that she has incredible staying power. Like, yes, she was fired, but she came back. Like, she is an iconic housewife. She defined housewives as we know it. She was the first housewife to really confront another housewife and create drama.
Did you go to Bass Lake? Yeah.
Did you go to Bass Lake? Changed the entire franchise. Like, it cannot be understated, like, how important that was. But I think if you look at her season to season, like, she often has really bad instincts. And I feel like I think that she, you know, sort of took something real, which is that she did care about Shannon on some level, and she did think she had a problem and that she needed to get help for it, and then ran with it in, like, typical Tamara fashion. And part of it is, like, it's good for the show, but it's also, you know,
Until it's not.
And she's going way too hard. And I think, like, I'm not worried about her future on the show, because I think we've learned that we need Tamara. But this is kind of what was happening with her when she got fired, is, like, she was not as fun to watch because her storylines always seemed a little bit fake. And then she would just like be so relentless and mean to other cast members.
And that was sort of what she did with Heather last year to a less extreme extent, but she sort of like rallied the troops against Heather. And she wanted it to culminate in this crazy finale, and it didn't really pan out because
disaster for her.
Disaster. I mean,
that was, but again, like that was another bad instinct. Like,
yeah, you're right. No, exactly.
She thought she could take down Heather, which is silly.
Which is silly. I mean, how many people have tried to do so and they can't do it? And also it's like, I don't know how housewives don't realize that like when you try to make it everybody versus one person, the audience is going to side with that one person 99% of the time.
And the thing about Heather, it's so interesting, is like you just give her a little bit of rope and she'll do the work for you. Like Heather says ridiculous things. Heather being like, Gina, like the paparazzi thing is just like when Shannon said that CPS was taking your kids. Like it's so ridiculous. And Heather looks so silly with this, like being mad at Gina. And it's like, you don't have to actually like try to take her down. Like she's a great housewife and she will do iconic out of touch housewife things just by existing. So like, you know, going so hard against someone, as you said, like, especially if you're trying to get everyone to do it, it just makes them look better.
Yeah. Yeah. Heather's Achilles heel is the out of touchness and it's never going to go away. Right. Exactly. So the other thing about Alexis and Johnny J is the legal stuff. You know, she was sort of tangential. It's kind of unclear exactly how she was attached to the Jim Bellino defamation lawsuit that he filed against Tamara and Shannon several years ago. But she's tangentially connected to that, just, you know, via being from her ex-husband. And now she's very much supporting and sort of goading Johnny J to push his $75,000 lawsuit against Shannon forward over money that he apparently lent her. You know, they're threatening to release this Ring camera footage from the night that she got her DUI. And it's just sort of like, it makes her feel like his mouthpiece, especially when he's not showing his face on the show, except for via like one FaceTime or whatever. Like, it just feels like he's filtering it all through her. And she's just sort of like a unquestioning kind of vehicle for that, you know?
Yeah, I wanted to actually, when I was writing that piece, originally I had been planning on looking a little bit more at like the history of housewives self-sabotaging over bad men. Mm-hmm. And as I was writing it, there was just so much to say about Alexis that it kind of, I mentioned it a little bit at the end, but
yeah, you do.
It would have been, it's something that I thought about a lot because I think that, you know, standing by your man is like classic housewives. It was like the Jersey finale when Dolores was like, we go so hard for our men. Like,
totally.
It's very classic housewives. And I think also becoming such a defender that it's your entire storyline is a thing that happens to that cast member's detriment. You know, it was very much like Vicky and Brooks, which I mentioned. I think, not to open the Jersey can of worms more, but Teresa and Louie is like a big example of that because she has been so motivated by what she sees as slights against him. And he obviously has a very big role in guiding her there. So I think that yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that it seems like Alexis, I don't know if she's being coached in a literal sense, but she's being coached in some way to kind of, this is her job, is to take Shannon down.
And to bring things up on camera and to make sure that they progress and get to her. And it's just, again, it just adds to the feeling that Shannon's being kicked while she's down. And then, but then it results in moments like that brunch on that trip at Elizabeth Vargas's house.
Right.
And there's, that was one of the most like real raw moments that we've seen on OC in quite some time, where Shannon just breaks down over it all. And like, again, that just endears Shannon to the audience and the rest of her cast that much more.
Yeah, I think I got emotional in the episode. I think it was the second episode when Shannon was with Gina and Emily and there's too much sports this season, but they were playing some sport.
There are a lot of sports.
And it was just like real. I found it really moving. Like,
yeah.
I find, you know, grace on these shows to be very moving. I think that what's so interesting is like, if Alexis had played this differently, like if she had come in with a more like, you know, reconciliatory sort of like approach to Shannon, and then we get to the midpoint of the season and suddenly it comes out there's video of Shannon almost running over John's kid, that would have been so bad for Shannon. And like, as it stands, we're all like, oh, that's really bad. Like, I don't want to see that video, but that sounds very bad. But we're not abandoning Shannon's side because in this context, it's been like this nonstop onslaught against her.
Right.
So we feel defensive of her.
Another alternate universe that I'm picturing is like, you know, you think about this idea that all she talks about is Johnny J. She's a friend of the cast, so she doesn't get any sort of home solo scene. She doesn't get any of that sort of added context in terms of like what's going on in her life. But I mean, and going off of what Katie said in the confessional, where it feels like they're getting to know John Jansen better than they're getting to know Alexis, it's clearly all she was talking about during filming. And it's like, again, alternate universe. Let's say she was introduced instead of as Tamara's friend, as Heather's friend. And her first scene on the show being reintroduced to the audience was a sit down lunch or dinner with Heather. And they're talking about their shared experience as parents to a trans child. And it's this really emotional, endearing moment. And then she gets introduced to the group again. It would have immediately kind of colored in the lines differently for her. And yeah. If that scene has happened, they wouldn't have edited it out. Like that's, I don't know if that scene ever happened, but like.
Well, the only way it might have been filmed and not aired is if it's a Jim Bellino issue, which is
you're right.
It's possible that, you know.
Yeah. But like, are they allowed to be told not to even mention their children?
I don't know. Okay. I think you could probably talk around it, maybe not use any names. I don't know.
But it's like, but they could have talked around that in some sort of way and sort of how that has connected them. And because Heather's mentioned that in interviews before, and it's just like, it's a really beautiful thing. And it would have helped Alexis's case, I guess.
I agree. I mean, I was really hoping for that. I do feel like maybe we expected too much growth from Alexis. And it's like, when I was like writing that piece and I was sort of looking at past seasons with her and I was like, oh, I mean, she said and did a lot of really dumb things. Like, I don't know how she's obviously grown, but like how much has she grown? And I think it's like, you know, you want to see someone who's like completely a different person. But at the end of the day, like it's still Alexis. It's still Alexis Bellino. And so maybe the bar was too high. Maybe we were just expecting a level of growth that was never there.
Totally. So I do want to compare a little bit just to sort of, you know, have a point of comparison. Compare the return of Alexis to the addition of Katie this season, to the addition of Jennifer last season. Taylor Armstrong came back as a friend or joined the show as a friend for one season last year. When you think about those comparisons and maybe like a Jennifer who has been a really amazing addition to the show, what are some of those key differences that like that can just highlight what Alexis is doing wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Katie is not doing a great job either. And I think that in a similar way to Alexis, like, you know, coming in with a vendetta, I think with Katie, it probably is more about like, she's new. She knows she has to create storyline.
Make impact.
She had this like receipt. It's not a receipt. Like I get where what she's doing, but it's setting her up for failure. And I think that the reason that Alexis to me is doing so much worse is because like we know Alexis and we had expectations for her. Katie is a new housewife. I think she has a good vibe, but she may be one and done and it wouldn't be, you know, I'll forget about her, you know, next season. I think that, you know, Jen is an example of someone who came on the show like the exact right way. She just was like a natural fit. She had real relationships. She, you know, tried with everyone to form real relationships. And then, you know, Tamara sort of helped her by putting her on defense, even though I think we all were like, Ryan seems really sketch. We were still like, you know, again, Tamara attacking makes us care more about this person. So
totally.
And Jen's like so sweet. Like Jen just seems like the sweetest person. So.
And also Jen's opening up about her life in such a authentic way. And in such a like, she's such an open book in a way that it just doesn't feel put on at all. You know, it just feels like this is very natural for her in some weird way. And it's it gives her potential for being a really amazing housewife down the line.
She feels like a classic OC housewife. She feels like she could have been dropped in season 3 or 4.
Absolutely.
And we would have, you know, I think she feels like a real person, but also like a little bit of a space cadet, which is what we want. Like we want someone who is out of touch, someone who is like, I can't pay rent, but of course I'm not going to sell my Rolex. Like we need like that kind of delusion for these shows to work. So and I think the problem with a lot of new housewives is they're too studied. They've been watching these shows forever, and they come in with an idea of what a housewife is. And I feel like Jen didn't have that. Katie, I think, is, again, she's coming in with this, like, she knows she has a mission here, and it doesn't make it feel very real. And then for her to kind of fight with Gina, where she's like, you know, I thought you were my soulmate, my sister, or whatever, like, she's kind of just creating this, like, there's not a real friendship there, and we all know that. So it's a little bit like, I don't care that Cheetah made you cry. No offense. It's just like, there's no real history there. You met at Sutton's party. Like,
right. I also just think that I think that new additions to these shows, they just like, they overestimate the importance of having a conflict in the first three episodes. You know, it's like, I would much prefer somebody to be a slower burn in their first season and like for the conflict to authentically emerge, maybe on the first sort of mini girls trip that they take five episodes in, or, you know what I mean? Like if we had spent the first five episodes just getting to know Katie and her getting her feet wet in the group and not really asserting herself yet, like that's okay, you know, because there's 15 episodes for her to make that impact and have it be more organic.
I wonder if, like, you know, I always wonder how much production is playing a role in this. And I think, you know, there may have been a push for her to kind of do something, because otherwise the season would have been entirely about Shannon and Alexis.
Sure.
And I think that they wanted to create some other kind of storylines and conflicts,
right,
which they have. And I think
we have,
like,
Gina and Jen in the beginning, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but I think that there may have been a little bit of a push there, but yeah, I totally agree. I think that we need Voice of Reason housewives. We need kind of like an audience surrogate housewife who observes and reacts. Like, we need all of that. And again, like, I like Katie. Like, I think she has
me
a really
too.
Good vibe.
I
like her
too.
Family. And so, like, it's unfortunate to watch her not only come in with this like conflict, but also to bring up a fight that I didn't care about from last season. Like, it's such a non-issue. Early on the season, I feel like she was also kind of doing this thing of like, Heather is elitist, which, like, that's just something you could totally just run with. Like, it didn't have to be about the paparazzi. It could be like, Heather makes me feel excluded. And it's like, we would all kind of understand that and probably be a little bit more on her side than like this fake receipt, which is like so crazy to me, because you keep showing it to people and it's just a text that says yes from someone we don't know. And it's like,
from the man who runs every single paparazzi in LA, right?
we really need to like define receipt properly and use it accordingly.
Yeah. And they flash it a lot on the screen. So,
because the editors know it's ridiculous. The editors know, like, everyone knows, everyone but Katie knows this receipt means nothing.
Hmm. So Lewis, I want to read two sentences that you write in your piece. You start by saying, after fans begged for the Real Housewives of Orange County to bring Alexis Bellino back into the fray, the show has delivered one of the most regrettable comebacks in franchise history. And then you end by saying that for viewers, however, enough time has passed to declare Alexis's long-awaited return a humiliating failure. So my question for you in those two sentences is, are you more arguing that it was bad for the show, it shouldn't have happened at all for Alexis to come back? Or is it more just bad for her and her chances of sort of having a longer comeback to the show past this season?
Oh, definitely the latter. I think it's good for the show. I think it's good for the show. I think it's bad for Alexis. I did, you know, there are people who are like, are you saying she should be fired? And it's like, I'm not saying that, but I'm not saying that. I think the issue is that if this is all she has to offer, like, I don't need another season of this. Like, I don't think it's actually going to be fun to watch after this season. So I think, like, she's done herself a real disservice, as the other women have said. And I think that her future on the show feels very murky to me.
Tenuous, yeah.
Yeah, I just, like, I can't imagine, unless they break up, in which case, like, that could be a good storyline.
That could be a great storyline.
I don't really see her coming back. It is good for the show. It's good for the show, although I will say that, like, you know, we were just saying, like, they've kind of needed some other conflicts aside from Shannon versus Alexis. I don't love a season that feels dominated by one thing. And I don't love how much we're talking about John Jansen. Like, it is relentless. So I feel like it's good for the show to a point. We need a little bit more. And I hope that, I don't know what's going to happen in the back half of the season, but, like, I hope that Alexis gives us something more to work with before the end.
I know. And I feel like it's going to at least move away a little bit from her, because she's not going to be on the cast trip, at which Shannon openly tells her she's not invited to. So she clearly is not going to get airtime during that. Friends of don't really get, like, back home segments while the rest of the cast is on a trip. But I totally agree. It's like, if they broke up after the reunion, before the reunion, like, that's a pretty compelling opportunity, I would say. It just, does Alexis have the skill set as a housewife to recalibrate in that way? Like, I think she's kind of showing us that she maybe doesn't.
I think that, I mean, it would be interesting to see. I think that Shannon absolutely does have, Shannon is like an, you know, Shannon's a great housewife.
Yes.
I think that she, if Alexis and John broke up and production was like, y'all got to film a scene together and talk about this, I think Shannon would absolutely sit down with Alexis and be gracious to some extent, because she knows that would be good for the show.
Yeah.
And she knows that, like, them bonding over their shared, you know, terrible ex would be good for the show. But I don't know if Alexis and John are going to break up. Like, I
think Alexis is dying on this hill. She wants the wedding, I think, you know?
Oh, if they...
That's what I think.
If they, like, brought her on full time and made us sit through a John Jansen wedding, I don't know if I could forgive production.
No, that would be tough. And I also, again, I think that one of... Obviously, she's been frustrating to watch, but one of my biggest hangups is just the fact that he can't show his face, basically. I don't want him to,
right.
I don't really want him on the show, but like, I just think it's so fucking annoying that he gets to basically be on the show without being on the show. He gets all the benefits without having to actually put himself out there. And I think it's...
Yeah, I don't know if this is, I don't know if this is serving him well, but he's...
I don't think so either, but he thinks it is. He's using it like a PR machine for him, or like a messaging machine for himself.
I feel mixed about that, because I feel like what he's actually, I feel like he had to know this wasn't actually going to make him look better, because nothing he's doing is making him look better. I think it's just revenge against Shannon for whatever reason. Like, he wants to destroy her. Like, I think this is really more about how bad can I make Shannon look,
right,
than how good can I make myself look? Because if he wanted to, he could film something and he could be really sweet to Alexis and he could kind of show a softer side of himself than we ever saw when with Shannon. But I think he just wants dirt on Shannon to be put out there. I think he really, you know, seems to blame her for his bad reputation, which I would argue barely existed. I think if he had just like gone away, we would not think about John Jansen at all.
Ever.
But yeah, I mean, I think he really, really wants to destroy Shannon.
And try as he might, he won't do it.
No.
Shannon Madore, that is one resilient woman. So
I wonder if, yeah, I mean, I'm wondering if he will release the videos. I think that would be obviously really
awful. It would complicate things. Yep.
I would guess if they're coming out, it'll be right before they film the reunion, because it feels like the kind of thing that they would want to sort of ambush her with in that context. But I don't know that Bravo would want to air those.
I know. Like, I don't know if they would.
I think it's more likely that, you know, John loves the media, that he sends it to some outlet that's willing to publish those videos.
Radar Online or something. Just
yeah,
call
and,
it
then
a day.
And then it's right before the reunion.
And they can refer to them. Exactly. Yeah. Well, Lewis, anything else about this season of Orange County that sticks out to you? I mean, I feel like we've mentioned most of the big storylines, because a lot of them do tie back to this central issue.
Yeah, no, I'm loving this season. I love Orange County. I'm so glad. We were in the trenches for a long time. We really went through it. And I think the benefit of these shows that have been on forever is like, yeah, there are some weaker seasons, but like, we've been with these women for so long, and now we're getting someone back that we hadn't seen in a decade, but that we knew it really well at the time. So it's like, yeah, you kind of have to tough it out to get to these amazing seasons. And it, you know, it makes me think about Jersey and my hope that like we find some way forward that doesn't revolve around a total reboot. Because I just feel like history is so important. And I really, you know, I think I really do like the New York reboot, but I think we're all dealing with the fact that we don't know these women well enough. So OC is a great reminder that you got to just like find a path forward with the cast that you have. Even if you have to get rid of some, bring back others. Like, you know, history matters. Women's stories matter.
Women's stories matter, especially when told over the course of several decades.
Exactly.
And yeah, it is so important to have that tie back to the original, whatever that means, and whether that's one person or I think of the Roni reboot as a different show, basically.
Yeah.
but it's still lacking something just in general of the Housewives franchise. And we just don't know them. We just don't know them well enough, like you said. Well, Lewis, where can people find more of your writing? I'm going to link to the article, obviously, in the show notes, because everyone needs to read this, but do your plugs before we sign off.
Great. Yeah, I am on Twitter/X at Lewis Peitzman.
A great follow.
Thank you. I'm on Instagram, Letterboxd. Those are the ones that I really use. And I post links to whatever I write on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, I'm freelance now. So, you know, if you're an editor assigning Housewives stories, my plug is to hit me up. Yeah.
Love it. Well, Lewis, thanks for doing this, and we'll do this again soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.